Thank you. Good morning. Nice to see all of you. I want to share with you guys, I love that song, Standing on the WORD. There's a line in that song, I'll teach you what I know, and together we'll grow. And that's really what we're here to do. You know, I'm here to share some things with you guys that I know about the Word, and so that I can grow and so that you can grow. And it's really neat how God has set that up, has set the body of Christ up to do that, to grow together. I want to talk this morning a little bit about some things to remember. You know, like Todd said, this time of year, if you, you know, go out into the grocery store or the mall or go out at all, and you're kind of bombarded with Easter eggs and Easter bunnies and things like that. And it seems like, though, also that this time of year, a lot of Christians think about and talk about the events that led up to Jesus Christ's death and his crucifixion. You know, those of us that are involved with this research ministry of ours, you know, we might get out our Jesus Christ, our Passover books, and start reading them and looking at them and thinking about the material and consider the things, you know, that led up to Jesus Christ laying down his life, and the great demonstration of God's power that got him up from the dead. And, you know, God is just as powerful today as he was when the day he raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And God wants us to remember that. Let's go to Malachi, please. In your Bibles, Malachi chapter 3, because I just want to share some things that God has told me not to forget. That God has told me, Shelley, remember these things. And one of the things that God has said to remember, one of the things to remember about God is in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. It says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed." God doesn't change. And that's a big thing to remember about God. He does not change. People change, you know. Philosophies change. Opinions change. Ideas change. Hairstyles change. Fashion changes. But God doesn't change, and his power doesn't change. It doesn't get weaker through the years. It doesn't get weaker because he's woken up in a bad mood. That doesn't happen. God doesn't change. And his power is the same today as it was when he raised Jesus Christ from the dead, as it was when he created the heavens and the earth. It's the same power. Another thing about God that we are to remember is that God is a God that forgives, and he's a God that heals. Let's go to Psalms. And let's look at the 103rd Psalm. God is a God that forgives, and God is a God that heals. Psalm 103, and I'm going to start in verse 1. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." You know, there are two parts to verse 3, the forgiving and the healing. And God forgives all our iniquities and heals all our diseases. And, you know, these two parts, the forgiving and the healing, are vital. They're vital to our spiritual and physical wholeness. See, God wants his people to be complete, to lack nothing. He wants us to lead totally healthy lives, both spiritually and physically. And, you know, remember that verse, 3 John 2, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. That desire of God has not changed. That hasn't changed, because God's a God that doesn't change, right? That hasn't changed. And that desire has been evident throughout the generations. Let's flip to Psalm 105. And verse 37 says, he brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Now, God protected Israel, and this is talking, when it says them, it's talking about the children of Israel. And you know, you guys remember Moses, and Moses was God's man, and he sent Moses in to Egypt to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, nope. And so these plagues befell Egypt. And it was a bad thing. And now, you know, the Israelites, let's think about this a minute, because it says here, God brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Now, when the children of Israel were in Egypt, they were slaves. They were not treated well. They were beaten. They were abused. They were mistreated. They were worked mercilessly. They weren't given the best things to eat, the nicest places to stay, the best clothes to wear. And so, you know, when one of them got sick or hurt, they didn't have access to the best health care, you know. They didn't have access to the best doctors or to, you know, a state-of-the-art medical facility in that time. They were slaves. And I don't know if any of you have ever been a slave. I haven't. But it's a hard, hard life. And not one, the word says, though, not one single person was feeble. Not one single person. Imagine that. That was a lot of people. That just wasn't, you know, a small group of people like we are now. I mean, this was millions of people. Not one single person was sick or weak or feeble. Not one. How? How did that happen? You know, just imagine that. Well, God gave those children of Israel specific instructions regarding what he wanted them to do. And at this time of year, when we look at and consider communion and the things that that Jesus Christ accomplished for us and God raising him from the dead, we have to look back to the first Passover. So let's go to Exodus, because these are part of the instructions. These are part of the specific directions that God gave the children of Israel that he wanted them to do. Exodus chapter 12. And we'll start in verse 3. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. If you skip down to verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Very specific instructions. I'm really glad God's so clear on what he wants. Verse 7, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door of the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. So God's telling them exactly what they need to do. They need to take a lamb. It needs to be a perfect lamb. Without spot or blemish means can't have any cuts, any bruises, any bumps, any lumps, any weird things on it. It's got to be just perfect. And they're to take it on the 10th day and kill it on the 14th day. And take the blood and to sprinkle the blood on the side posts of their front door and on that thing across the top, the lintel. Sprinkle the blood on that. And that night they're also to eat the meat, roast the meat with fire and herbs and eat it. And that was called the Passover. Verse 11. Verse 11 of chapter 12. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste, for it is the Lord's Passover. This was called the Passover, and you know, they did something very similar to this every year. Every year they were to do this. And that lamb's blood that was sprinkled on the doorposts, that represented the covering of their sins. And the flesh, when they ate the meat, that represented healing of their physical body. That was how there was not one feeble person among them. That was how God did that. And, you know, they heard God's instructions, they believed them, and they acted on them. They did what he said to do. And there was great benefit. I mean, you know, having health, being healthy and not feeble is wonderful. It's a great benefit. And, you know, think about our own lives. You know, I think about my life when I listened to God, did what he said to do, the benefit that came to me, you know, that it's not fun not listening to God and not doing what he says to do. There's not much benefit to me in that. But just as the children of Israel listened, believed it, and acted on it, did what he said to do, there was great benefit to their life. Well, now Jesus Christ, the word tells us Jesus Christ is our Passover. You know, we don't have lambs and we don't, you know, kill a lamb every year and sprinkle the blood and eat it. And we don't do that now. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Because now the word tells us that Jesus Christ is our Passover. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And in verse 7, God's word says, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, even as you are unleavened," or "as you are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." We don't have to sacrifice a lamb because Jesus Christ was sacrificed for us. He took all of our sins with him when he died. And Christ's blood was shed to cleanse us from our sins. It says in 1 John, let's just flip there real quick. 1 John chapter 1. First John chapter 1, verse 7. "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." We've been cleansed from our sins by the blood of Jesus Christ, just like that lamb, well, better than the lamb, because the lamb for Israel covered their sins. But Jesus Christ's blood cleansed or washed our sins away. And there's a big difference from being covered and being cleansed. I have a dog. Yeah. But one in particular I'm thinking of right now, you know, if he were to be, you know, out in my backyard, there's a lot of mud, it's been raining a lot, there's a lot of dirt, and he likes to dig. So I think about this in light of, okay, if Ralph were in the backyard digging and he's muddy and just filthy, and he comes running into my clean house that I've just cleaned, comes running into my house and lays down in the middle of my living room floor. I can do one of two things. Well, I could do a lot of things, but one thing I could do is I could go get a blanket out of the garage, bring it in the house, spread it out over the dog, and cover him up. I wouldn't see the dirt. I wouldn't see the dog. It'd just be covered up. That's one thing I could do. Or I could go haul the dog into the bathroom, throw him in the bathtub, get out the dog shampoo, turn on the water, and wash all that junk and gunk and crud off of him and clean him up. Well, Jesus Christ hauled us into the bathtub and washed that junk and gunk and crud off of us. It's much better to be clean than to just be covered up. I still know that dog's under that blanket and all that dirt's under there. But if I haul him into the bathtub and clean him up and wash all that stuff off, then I know he's clean. Israel's sins were covered, but we are clean. And not only were our sins taken care of by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, but his body was offered for our sickness and our disease, just like the flesh of the lamb was offered for Israel's sickness, just like when they ate it and they were healthy. Jesus Christ's body was broken for our sickness and our disease. Let's go to 1 Peter. It was offered for our healing. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. This is a verse I've been reading a lot lately, just in, you know, studying healing and thinking about healing. God showing me stuff about healing. He keeps bringing me back to this verse. Verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. This is talking about Jesus Christ. That we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. The two parts, dead to sin and we were healed. Remember those two parts that are vital to our spiritual and physical wholeness, forgiving and healing? Well, those two parts are covered here. When you believe Romans 10, 9, and 10 and get born again, Jesus Christ becomes your Passover. And your sins are cleansed and washed away, and you're healed. This verse becomes your verse. This verse becomes, you know, applicable to you personally, on a very personal level. Jesus Christ was the perfect sacrifice. Remember that lamb had to be perfect? Nothing weird could be on it. You know, no cuts, no bruises, no. It had to be absolutely perfect as a lamb could be. Well, Jesus Christ was the perfect sacrifice for us. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse For he hath made him to be sin for us. Talking about Jesus Christ again. Was made to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You know, that's almost too good to be true. I mean, because Jesus Christ never sinned. He walked perfectly. Yet he was made to be sin for a bunch of sinners, for a bunch of people that sinned, so that they could be made righteous. I mean, do you see how good that is? How almost, it's almost too good to be true, but it is. He was the perfect lamb. He's also referred to in the Word, and I think the kids learned this last week. He was called the Lamb of God. He was the perfect, much better than a lamb, much, much better than, you know, a little lamb that lives in a barn, because he knew no sin. And he took them all on when he gave himself as our sacrifice. Let's flip to Matthew real quick. Matthew chapter 8. So our sins have been cleansed and our healing is done. Those are truths spiritually once you get born again. It's true. Whether you see it, whether you want to live in it, it's true. Spiritually, it's true of you. Matthew chapter 8, verse 17. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself, Jesus Christ, took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. His sacrifice took care of the spiritual and the physical need in our life. That need for spiritual and physical wholeness. His sacrifice took care of that. These two things Jesus Christ did for all who will just believe. The healing and forgiveness that God gives is represented in communion. The bread that we eat represents the physical healing, and the wine represents spiritual wholeness or forgiveness. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 23 says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. These verses tell us that we are to do this in remembrance of what Jesus Christ did for us. When we take part in communion, it's a way for us to remember and to acknowledge that we were healed spiritually and physically. Because of what Jesus Christ did at Calvary, it's nothing that we could have done for ourselves. We weren't that perfect little lamb walking around the barnyard with all the other little lambs. That wasn't us. We couldn't have done it ourselves. It took a perfect sacrifice to do it. And so when we take communion, God wants us to remember, and because of the work of Jesus Christ on our behalf, there's just no need for us to remain in sin or to be sick. There's just no need for it. And God wants us to remember this when we take communion. So, you know, if this time of year when we take communion, I don't know if you've already taken communion or if you're about to sometime soon, just think about these things that God wants us to remember, the things about God not changing, about our physical wholeness and about our spiritual wholeness being paid for on Calvary by Jesus Christ. God wants us to think about those things and remember those things. And, you know, I'm sure glad that God reminds us, because I forget stuff. I mean, I can't even remember what I need to get from the grocery store. I got to write everything down. I'm a list maker. I write down lists. I write down things I'm supposed to remember. And as I accomplish them, I cross them off my list and make a new list and throw the old list away and have another list going in my purse. And, you know, I'm just so thankful God reminds us and that he, you know, maybe he knew that we would be this time of year bombarded by bunny rabbits and Easter eggs and candy and all the other stuff that goes along with, you know, this time of year. But the stuff he really, you know, he doesn't say remember bunnies and eggs here. He says to remember what Jesus Christ did for you. Remember that your sins have been cleansed away if you're born again, and that you are healed physically, that you can enjoy that, you can live in that. You know, 1 Peter 2:24 says we are dead unto sin and alive unto righteousness. So those are just some things that God's reminded me of that I wanted to share with you and remind you of this time of year. So thanks for listening. Thanks for sitting here with me. So I'll just pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the things in your word, God, that you want us to remember, how you work within us to bring those things to our minds. Thank you, Father, for the absolute perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ, how when he laid down his life, our sins were washed away and our bodies could be physically whole. Thank you, Father, for this group of believers here, and that as we go out this week living life and doing the things that we need to do, we can remember these things, that we can remember that you don't change, that your power is the same as it always has been throughout all the ages. And God, we're just so thankful to be your children. We're so thankful to be able to call you Father and to demonstrate your power in our lives. So thank you, God, for these things and for a wonderful rest of the week. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.